done and get you out of here, but we're covering Amos because I think it's a reminder to us. That's what I love about it. There's some things, I gave you seven things that Amos was written for that we can remember. And by the way, it's just a privilege to preach. There were more pianists and singers and preachers in the service today than ever before. Wow. It's incredible having the people that are here, and yet I have the privilege of standing up here and presenting God's word. I'm so inferior to them. I should have had them preach, but I love to preach to you. So I appreciate you being patient with me in the preaching. But Amos is such an amazing book to me because it reminds me of one thing or many things, but the thing I take from the book of Amos is God knows. God is watching. God is keeping track. God knows what the nations were doing, and the proof becomes in the pudding, because if you remember, if you follow along with this, we're doing it like every other week because of Lord's Supper and the different conflicts we've had, but Amos is sent to deliver a message of judgment, and the message of judgment was good. It was upon six other nations, but then he hit Judah, what was okay, but then when he hit Israel, that's it's too chapters long of what Israel was doing. And that's when the rubber hit the road, or the fan hit the fire, so to speak. And they loved the judgment upon other nations, but then when it came upon them, they snarled at it and got bitter and angry at it because nobody likes to hear it. But the thing I take from all this is that God knows, God keeps track, God isn't blinded to anything that's happened in the world. All these politicians that are doing what they're doing, and these communist leaders, these that are killing Christians, and Christians are being martyred all over the world today. You know, again, up to 1 million a year. We don't understand this, and we can't comprehend it because we live in still free America. But it's happening. And I used to sit back and wonder, how do those nations get away with it? How do those communist rulers in Russia and China, they do all this to these Christians? Why? But this book helped me to understand that God is keeping track. God knows. And one day they will face a judgment of God. So that's what's happening here. And that's why in chapter 1, we begin to see that God pours out his judgment. The first one we looked at, so we're not going to take time to look at that, was in verses 3 through 5, and that was Syria or Damascus. If you remember, it's hard to remember from week to week, but they took the threshing floor and took the iron things that they run across when they put the wheat on the threshing floor to break open the wheat, where the wheat would stay and the wind would come and take the chaff and take it away. They took those instruments that were used in the iron instruments or steel instruments that you use, and they laid bodies upon them and ripped them to shreds. I mean, I get it. There's going to be death and war, but not to that point. And that was Gilead that they did that upon, the tribe of Reuben and Gad and a half tribe of Manasseh. That's the part of Gilead. So it's still Israel, and God never forgets. And you read in verses 3 through 5 the judgment that came down upon Damascus. And so the second one we didn't have time to get into was Gaza. That's the land of the Philistia, or the Philistine Empire. We know that even in David's day, that in Saul's day, the Philistines were a thorn in the flesh to Israel that entire time. But God brings down his condemnation upon them. Verses 6 through 8, then said the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four. Now remember, that's not just three or four. That means he's saying they did a whole bunch. But I'm going to just hold them accountable for these. But boy, they did many things that were wicked. They did many things that were wrong. And he said, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they've carried away captive the whole captivity, deliver them to Edom. And I'll send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the places thereof, or the palaces thereof. And I will cut off the inhabitant of Ashdod and him that holdeth the sepulcher from Ashkelon. And I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord. And so God said he was going to bring judgment down on them. What was it for? Well, the condemnation that God is bringing is against slavery, but it's in a different type of slavery. Because God is not against slavery in and of itself. He allowed the Jews to have slaves, or they would take people in war. They would take other soldiers and make them slaves, and the Gibeonites came in, and they became slaves to Israel, but not in a sense, because slaves had an opportunity to be set free, and there was good things that they treated them with a little bit of respect and honor that Israel did. So God isn't against slavery. That's not what this is about. He's not bringing judgment down upon Gaza or Philistia and the Philistine nation just because of slavery. Because it was typical that soldiers were enslaved after being taken in battle. But the Philistines used their temporary supremacy to enslave whole populations. They would go in and just attack a country. And they wouldn't want to kill them. They would take them over, but they would salvage as many as they could, and they would enslave the whole populations, the soldiers, the civilians, the men, the women, the adults, the children, young and old, and they would sell them commercially for profit. That's what God had a problem with. It wasn't that you would defeat a nation and they would become your slaves, so to speak. God wasn't 100% against that. But it was the fact that they took these nations, gathered them, took them into captivity, and it was basically they got these nations for commercial gain or wealth, profiting at the expense of other people. It brought God's judgment. Selling them to other nations for commercial gain is wrong. That's where God drew the line at that point. They did that to Israel in that they took over Israel and they merchandised God's people. And so the judgment of God came upon them. Now let me illustrate, and maybe this is not the perfect illustration, but it's the only one I could come up personally with. Is that's a little bit what happened when we had slaves, you know, in the Civil War. But you know who it was the African people that gathered and sold those slaves to America. America didn't go over and gather them. They gathered the people and they sold them. And I think that's why God's judgment, those folks who did that, I think God's judgment has been upon them. And so they sold the Negro, black slaves, whatever, however the terminology would be used, to America. America took slaves. Now, I know there were slave owners that sold other slaves, and they shouldn't have done that. But again, the bottom line is America paid a great price. And I know the only reason I mention that, because you hear that a lot, that we need to pay these people who are great, great, great grandfathers and that they served but you know what? Let me tell you something, folks. A great price was paid because of our sin. 500,000 men and women lost their lives in that war. What they don't understand is the North came down and lost 300,000 men to defeat and defend and conquer slavery. So, folks, people who are grandkids of great, great, great grandkids, whatever it may be today, the idea that we have to pay them because of the suffering, well, number one, they didn't suffer. But number two, a great price was paid. And that's what reminds me of the Philistines. What Africa did, they gathered their own people and sold them into slavery for profit to America. Now, we should have never bought them. We should have never taken advantage. We never should have done that. But we did. But God's judgment, and that's where the Philistines are at. That's why the Bible says fire, and that word fire there, again, like we had talked about in Sunday school, doesn't mean literal fire. It means judgment of God. In the historical record, if you went to the book of 2 Kings, you'd see Hezekiah, Chapter 18, he smote the Philistines even unto Gaza and the borders thereof and the tower of the watchmen to the fenced cities. God brought judgment down upon all those major cities, and you'll see them, because remember when they took the ark in 1 Samuel? They came in and took the ark and defeated Israel and took the ark. They took it to all their main five cities that were had mice in them, that was their god, and they served the god Dagon, and And then they ended up putting the ark into the temple with Dagon and those different cities mentioned. There were five major cities. God said, because they did what they did, it didn't happen immediately. It didn't happen overnight. But God said, I remember their sin. I remember what they did. And if you follow scripture exactly, you'll find out that all these cities were completely annihilated and destroyed. The record goes on to say that Hezekiah destroyed all that particular area. And Amos's prophecy was literally fulfilled. You know, we talk about the Gaza Strip today. Do you realize that's an Arab area that's under the control of Israel? God brings judgment down, and that judgment is still seen amongst the Philistines nations today. So whether you think people can sin and get away with it, God remembers. Nations that sin, these communist nations, these nations that are trying to destroy Christianity, destroy godliness. Let me tell you something, folks. God remembers. We see that with Damascus or Syria. We see that with the Philistines and Gaza. The third one in verses 9 and 10 is Tyre, and that's Phoenicia. And the Lord said, for three transgressions and for four, again, the same thing, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom and remembered not their brotherly covenant, but I will send fire or judgment on the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the palaces thereof. The judgment against the Tyre or Phoenicia was that they also benefited from the commercial gain of selling slaves to all the world. So that was part of their judgment. They did the same thing the Philistines did. But the more judgment that came that's mentioned here is that they broke their treaty with Israel. If you remember back in history, Hiram was the king of Tyre, and who he was good friends with? King David. It was Hiram that provided David lumber and stuff for his housing. It was Hiram who provided Solomon the means to build the temple. There was always a good relationship between Tyre and Israel and Judah. There always was. They had like a peace agreement between the two. And if you check the statistics or check the facts, Israel never once, or Judah ever once, attacked Hiram or Phoenicia. Never did. The city of Tyre, that was never attacked, because they provided all the stuff for Solomon, and it was a ton that Hiram provided. He provided workers for the temple, and the temple took 7 years to build, but his house took literally 13 years to build. It was a lot of, and he built cities, and he built a lot of things, and Tyre and this people of Tyre or Hiram were very close and intermingled with Israel. But somewhere along the line, with all the peace treaties that they had, Phoenicia breaks that treaty. And so that's why in verse 10, God sends judgment. And if you know the story of Tyre, it's an interesting story, because Assyria came up against Tyre, and they battled for quite some time, but they were not able. They tore Tyre down, but they couldn't defeat him. They wore him down a little bit, but they could not defeat him. Tyre was a great nation, a great powerful nation. And so Assyria comes up against them, but is not able to take the city. But then comes Nebuchadnezzar along after that, and he literally goes in and destroys the city. And he causes Tyre to flee to an island. There was an island off the coast there, about a half mile out, and Tyre got in ships and fled to that island and moved to that island. So Nebuchadnezzar came in and literally just demolished the city. I mean, he tore it down brick by brick. He just leveled it flat and destroyed everybody that didn't get away to go out to that island for freedom. So we can see God's judgment, but not total judgment yet. And then about 250 years later comes along Alexander the Great. Now, if you remember the story from when we covered this through different things in the book of Daniel, Alexander the Great comes along, and he sees that Tyre as being a very successful city out on that island. They're pretty well protected. They set up their guns so they couldn't be attacked from boat. And they were well fortified, and they were very much a prospering city. And Alexander had, for some reason, led of God or led whatever, he said, I'm going to destroy that city. So he took all the bricks and all the stones that were torn down from the city of Tyre on the mainland, and he threw them into the water, and he built a causeway a half mile out to that island, and he took his men and marched his men out to the city and destroyed the city of Tyre. See, no matter what, God remembers folks. Tyre, they should have never attacked Israel. They should have never got into slavery and selling for commercial profit. They should have never done it. And they went against God and his principles, and God never forget. And you know what? It's something that you'd look at, and it would just come and go, and you wouldn't even think about it. But yet God remembers. And God destroyed Tyre to the point it fulfilled Ezekiel's prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 26, if you want to read it. And then again, they would scrape the ground of old Tyre and throw it into the sea, bringing a complete end to Tyre and fulfilling once again Amos's prophecy. Now to move on, you get to, that's Tyre. Then Edom in verses 11 and 12. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with a sword and did cast off pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept them for wrath. But I will send fire or judgment upon Teman, which shall devour the places of Bozra. Again, there were many sins that they did. There are many, three or four, many more probably. But he said, I'm just not going to let it go. And the sin that he brings up here is that Amos says that Edom pursued his brother with a sword, stifling all compassion upon him. This offensive must have been particularly heinous, because the next book in Obadiah, Amos Obadiah, if you followed in, is concerned entirely with the sin of Edom against their brother. Again, apparently during some attack on Jerusalem by a foreign power, we're not really 100% sure. I suppose if you researched it enough, you could find it out. But a foreign power came in and attacked Jerusalem, and Edom didn't really get involved in the battle. But what they did is they got involved with Israel's attackers, and there were some Israelites were fleeing, and their escape routes, they went in and put soldiers in to keep them from escaping. And so none of the Israelites could escape, so they turned them around, they had to go back in, and they were just utterly wiped out. Then what they did is they went in and just took all the booty from it. They all the wealth, they went and took it from the soldiers or from the people that were fleeing, and they got wealthy off something like they did. Now again, it wasn't their fight. It wasn't for them to be involved with. They weren't literally attacking Jerusalem or Israel at that time. But they sealed off the escape routes, and then they profited from Israel's misfortune. At the very least, Edom should have backed off and not profited from Israel's loss. This act was undoubtedly very offensive because of Edom's blood relationship to the Jewish people. And most of you probably been around Scripture long enough to know that where it is, because the descendants from Isaac, he had the son of Abraham had Isaac. And Isaac had two children. Who were they? Jacob and Esau. Jacob became Israel. That's what his name was changed to, and became Israel and Judah. And Esau became Edom, or the Edomites. And so this was literally, this was two sons that had the same father, Isaac. But Jacob was the one blessed of God. And because Esau came out of his loins, he became a great nation in itself, but they were still literally blood brothers. These were relatives to each other. And when they blocked off the escape routes, causing innocent people to be killed, and then benefited from taking the right off their body, any wealth or any things they had, Edom really should have stood with Judah and Israel. But at the very least, refused to profit by what they did not and are judged for. Again, if you go back and look at the rock of the city of Petra, that's the city where I believe Christians are going to be preserved during the tribulation period, but I could be very wrong in that regard. But that's just what I personally believe, that God's going to take and put a blanket over that, and he's going to put them in Petra, which is a city of rock. It's a city made carved out of caves right in the wall going up, and that's where their homes are. And so they didn't build, but they had some great temples, and they had a lot of things in there. All that was destroyed. All that, everything that could burn was burned, and the Edomites were completely taken out of the city of Petra. The palace of Borza has been destroyed, and it's even disappeared. We don't even hear about that anymore. And judgment came upon their revengeful spirit because they were jealous of their brother, Israel, or Jacob, and God remembered their sin. So that's why I think Amos is such an important book, because it teaches us and remembers. Let me give you just the last two real quickly, then we'll stop with Judah. But the fifth one was Ammon, the Ammonites, in verses 13 through 15. Again, for three or four transgressions, because they ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border, I'm going to send judgment or kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it will devour the places thereof. And the shouting in the day of battle with a tempest in the day of a whirlwind, and their king shall go into captivity, and he and his princes together, saith the Lord. The Ammonites were located on the east bank of, or the east side of Jordan, which gets into, excuse me, into Gilead. That's again going back to the tribe of Reuben and Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh. And what they did is to enlarge their borders, they came in, and they took Gilead, but so they could send a statement to the world, and so they could stop the growth of this Israel nation. They took all the helpless women that were pregnant especially, and they ripped open their stomachs and killed them and their babies, so that the rising generations of the inhabitants of Gilead would be destroyed, that would become their demise. So again, they didn't just battle them. They went in and took all the pregnant women and stood them up before the world and destroyed the women and the children that were in them. And again, I find that quite offensive, but you know what? We sort of do that today, don't we? You know what it's called? It's called abortion. It's exactly what the world. Well, let me tell you something. God doesn't forget. God doesn't forget, and he remembered what they did. If we were to go, and I don't have time, to 2 Kings chapter 8, you'll see that sin that prompted God's judgment. Again, Elijah delivered a message to Hazael, the king of the Ammonites. And you'd find that he said that a dog was going to do this. He described the king as a dog, but he didn't come out and call him Hazael. But it was Hazael he was talking about that would do this horrendous crimes and wickedness, and God would judge them in a powerful way. Rabbah was a great city, the capital city of the Ammonites. Later, it was called Philadelphia by the Greeks. It is known as Ammon today, the capital city of Jordan, but built on the ruins of this great civilization of the past, which was totally destroyed. Modern Jordan is built upon the ruins of the nations of the Ammonites. Modern Jordan today, where Israel dwells. God doesn't forget, folks. God remembers. And then the last one is the Moabites that he gives. And then he goes into Judah and Israel. But in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 2, the Lord, again, for three of the four transgressions of Moab, I will turn away the punishment because they burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime. And I will send fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the places thereof. You can read it right there, verses 1 through 3. They burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime. That was a wicked thing to do. Matter of fact, that was forbidden. That heaped insult and sacrilege upon the defeat by desecrating the remains of the national heroes of Edom. They went through all the bones of the national heroes, people who were elevated in the city of Edom, in the nation of the Edomites, and they took them and they took all their bones and they burnt them. And again, that was a sign of insult and sacrilege. It was an insult of the highest order the commentaries say, the Moabites carried their revengeful spirit to the highest level that brought God's judgment upon this nation. This once proud nation was brought to extinction at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. And you don't hear about Moabites. You don't see a Moabite even today. Yet, I just have to mention this. Yet, God brought out of this heathen country a gentle, lovely, and beautiful girl by the name of who? Ruth. Ruth, her story is recorded in one of the greatest books in the Bible. Ruth is in the genealogy line that leads to the Christ. Because she was the great-grandmother or whatever it is, I forget what it is, to David. And she had come from Moab of all places. But I tell you what, that story right there simply reveals what the grace of God can do in the life of a believer. And each one of these nations, and there probably could be more, but these are the six nations, Gentile nations, that God gave the vision to Amos to go to Bethel and deliver God's judgment to let them know God sees all the sin and he knows it. Nobody gets away with it. They're probably sitting back there saying amen at this stage. Because those Gentile nations, they get what they deserve. They're wicked people. Then you'll see next week he opens up on Judah. And it's a couple verses of Judah's sins and God's judgment down upon Judah, and we know that with Nebuchadnezzar. But then he takes the rest of chapter 2 and all of chapter 3 and discusses Israel's sins. And God brings great judgment down upon Israel. See, God remembers, folks. God isn't sleeping upstairs. God is there, and he knows everything that's happened in the world. I don't know, well, God, he has a great memory. He knows everything. He knows every word you have said so far. Matter of fact, he doesn't even, he not only remembers the words you said, he knows what you're thinking right now. And he knows what you're going to think until the day you die. He knows what you're going to say. So God doesn't have to have it written down, but it wouldn't shock me if there's some angels in heaven writing down the sins of these nations. So one day at the great white throne judgment, when the books are opened, the books will be revealed, and God will say, this is why I did what I did. And God is righteous for what he does. And so the thing I'm learning as I study the book of Amos is God is a righteous God. He's dealing with things even when you and I maybe don't even realize that he's dealing with them. And judgment is coming upon these nations that have destroyed Christianity or trying to destroy Christianity, trying to kill Christians, trying to destroy the Bible, trying to destroy our values, what we stand for, trying to destroy the church, God's institution. We sit back and say, man, there are a lot of wicked people getting away with a lot of things. I imagine Israel thought of that at a time or two. But Amos was there to remind them they didn't get away with it. God's judgment was coming. And God's judgment did come upon every one of these nations exactly like Amos said it would, because God's word is true. What powerful truth. What wonderful truth it is from the Old Testament. The book of Amos. Let's pray. Father,